Oh, that's so good. Man, y'all are always amazing because it never fails that the testimonies that y'all end up sharing so touch on what I'm going to share tonight. So I love that. Like God knows how to do commercials before, you know, kind of thing. So it's good. All right. Well, I didn't bring my book. You know, Mia talked about the Angel Armies book, and it's by Tim Sheets, if you're interested. And it's a really good book and a good read. Oh, you got it. My resource lady right here. Okay, so here's the book, Angel Armies, Releasing the Warriors from Heaven. And if y'all remember when we did Love New Braunfels a while back, my friend Latimer Bowen, who does the prophetic art or whatever over there, and that is a tsunami wave of glory, by the way, of kingdom identity, all those words over there. If you've not seen that, go and read that or read it again if you haven't been by there again. And you stick your little face in that little hole and get someone to take a picture, because what it does is it's like the tsunami wave of your identity. And then that gold, like, you know, is kind of the glory, like sprinkling on you or whatever, coming through, like the glory cloud coming through. And so every time we keep hearing tsunami, you know, like that's what it looks like, the tsunami wave of the Lord. But anyway, she had been reading this book. So when we were walking around Landa and doing the prayer stuff or whatever with Love New Braunfels, she and Jay actually went through and read all the declarations in this book. And there's like, what, 300? I'm gonna get the exact number because I think he's really intentional about it. It's 303. So it's 303 declarations or whatever, okay? And so I'll read you a couple of those in a minute. But so when I was praying about tonight several weeks ago, I was thinking, oh yeah, so we're going to go through the courts, then we'll talk about cleansing land and time so we can gain our authority in prayer, and then we got to understand angels. Like, we have to at least a concept of angels, right? Like, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this because I think you can go far out into the weeds when it comes to angels, okay? Because there are people who will worship angels, and yes, they are spirit beings, but they are messengers. They are helpers. We're not to talk to the angels or any of that kind of stuff, because you will easily open yourself up to a demonic entity that comes like an angel of light that's not, right? We're supposed to talk to Holy Spirit. Y'all follow me? And so I just want to talk about angels, though. I don't want you to be afraid of it, because we need to have understanding about the angelic, you know? And the thing is Satan, no matter what, is always outnumbered, because only a third went with him, you know? And we still have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like, he's totally defeated, okay? So there's nothing to fear in that, but I think when you start talking about the supernatural and talking about the kingdom and learning how to discern in the spirit, you have to understand the angelic realm on some level. And we talked a little bit about that in the last couple of weeks about different kinds of angels, and I'm not really going to go into all of this. It's a really great book. But just the point that I wanted to make briefly tonight is to be able, like, to move and live and breathe in the kingdom, we've got to understand some things about the kingdom. We've got to understand some things about the supernatural. And you need to be aware of the angelic around you. I think it's important. I think it's important to know God is with you 100% all the time. He's omnipresent, right? Like always. He doesn't need the angels to come take notes and then go to the throne and tell him and then report back. Like, that's not how it works, okay? Like, God knows it all. He's everywhere. But for some reason, he has created these magnificent beings to be messengers that will release messages, like Gabriel and some of the other angels we know in the Bible stories or whatever, you know. And specifically, when Gabriel showed up, there was a major wind of change that took place. There was a major shifting of something, right? So he is the one that comes in and announces. So he announced, you know, Jesus's birth, right? Like, there's a major shift in history, okay? You're going to see Gabriel. And the angels that, you know, serve under him in the ranks and file of, you know, it's like army, right? Like, think generals down to privates, okay, or whatever, and the lieutenants and sergeants in between or whatever. But there's also Michael, the warring archangel. You know, he's the angel over Israel. And then we think about warring angels. A lot of times when we think about spiritual warfare, we think about those angels. I know people have seen. I don't know if you have seen or have seen pictures of those who have seen. I know someone recently had a picture. I don't remember what ministry. Jeff Jansen, maybe, is the one I'm thinking of. Does anybody know which one I'm talking about? But he was in a foreign country. Where was it? I almost want to say Guatemala, but I'm not sure. But he saw a warring angel. Someone took a picture of during worship, and there was a light fixture. It was like a being standing right where this little microphone stand would be, standing there holding a sword, like the sword's pointing down, and it was holding the sword like this. And you could see the sword and the outline of the angel. And it was light, though. It was light, but you could see, like, the outline. It was crazy. I have a picture of one. I should have brought it. I have a picture of one when I was in a conference. I have several, actually, but I have one that really was kind of cool. Because, you know, the scripture says that they're like flames of fire, right? And so they come as winds or as fire. And there was like a, I don't know how else to call it, except it looked like a round. It looked like a circle, and then next to it, if you could like see my hand flared out, it looked like a little flame or like wings shooting out one side or whatever. But it was almost like a flying flame bird thing or something, and it was in the sky in the picture or whatever. So it wasn't like some weird random thing that my camera did, because it didn't do it any other time. And the camera worked the whole rest of the time. There are other times where we've seen, if you've seen like orbs, I know that there's a lot of those even when you look on YouTube and stuff like that, you'll have, or if you've ever watched any of those supernatural shows that are like ghost hunter chasers or whatever, like they're always trying to catch on camera the orbs, because those represent a spirit of some kind. Doesn't necessarily mean it's an angel, by the way, but it can be a host of something, okay? And so, but when you look inside, several of the times when I've taken pictures in worship, there was one time in our children's ministry, we were having a VBS, and it was kind of dim, and so I was taking pictures, and you could see tons of these orbs, is the only thing I can call them, and they look like light, and then some of them looked... they were perfectly round, but you could see little squiggles on the inside. I don't know how else to explain that. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Okay, so we have a couple hands. Don't think I'm crazy. But I'm just saying, and that's not from like dust particles and everything else. Like there are some of those that can happen sometimes. But these, I freaked out so much when I saw them, because I'm like took a picture and I looked on my camera and I was like, oh, look. And I showed my friend, and then I kept taking them like through the whole song. I just kept taking them and taking them. I just took a ton of them. And what's funny is, you know how when you do the click, 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 right? Like you frame, 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 frame. When you go back and look, you can see the light go from here to here to here to here. Like it moved, you know, and stuff. And several of them kind of moved. And I was like, okay, Jesus, like you're going to have to tell me about this. Like, what is that about? Right? Well, I don't know. I don't. But what I did is I've asked people and I've read books, and when it talks about the host of heaven, it's not just the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim. We think there's different creatures, different types, okay? But the host, they host something. They host healing, or they host whatever. I know one particular seer, when Randy Clark talks about his story of impartation and things like that, there was a seer that said, do you want to see what I see, what's going on when I see in the spirit? We'll talk about this more in a minute, about seeing. But she saw different angels. She saw the host of heaven releasing healing for some people. But there were other angels that had a different assignment. And they were releasing, they were pulling things out of a bag, and it was like scrolls that they were putting into people, and that was their new assignment. They were being commissioned into something. They were being given gifts or empowerment or whatever it is to do whatever their next chapter was in their destiny. There was an impartation. So there are angels that have different assignments. As you look through scripture, if you just Google angels or look in your, you know, Bible app or whatever, and just look up all the different scriptures that talk about angels, and you're going to see angels, when they show up, they have a message. They're bringing healing. Angels attended to Jesus, right, after the 40 days in the desert. So they have jobs. They have jobs to do. They are working on behalf of the Lord, okay? And it also says that there are helpers, like they help us in doing the things that we do. So do you know that you have a guardian angel? You have a particular personal angel assigned to you. There's a scripture that talks about the angels assigned to even children, right, especially, right? So we know all of us have our own angel. Is anybody familiar with Jamie Galloway? He's a seer and a minister, and I hope to bring him here sometime. He was just in Abilene with some friends, and I remember one of the times I got to sit down and ask him questions. And I said, all right, what's the thing with the orbs thing? And that's what he said. He said, they host stuff. They just have different assignments. He talked about a time when he saw an angel before, I guess, I don't know if it was when he was dating or whatever, and he saw his wife's angel. And I said, well, wait, time out. How did you know it was your wife's angel? And he said, because it looked like her. He says, your personal angel kind of looks like you, takes on the shape or the form or the appearance of you at times. So when you see in the spirit, sometimes that's what you'll see. I had another seer friend who, when she saw in the spirit, she didn't see that they looked exactly like you, like they wouldn't necessarily like have brown hair, you know, and be wearing the same clothes or whatever. But she said that my angel actually has fiery red hair and it's got ringlets in it and stuff. And this other friend of mine or whatever, she saw her angel and it looked like her, like in terms of shape or form, but it had castanets, you know, you know, the little instruments. And the person that's my friend is not really a dancer, so it was kind of fun. Her personality can be that way, but it wasn't that. And so whatever they would see sometimes would represent the gift or the grace that's on their life to be able to do things like release joy or to release dance or to release some of those kinds of things. And so I thought that was really interesting. But then I kept going, okay, God, I want to see this. Why is it that other people get to see it and I don't get to see it? Like, I want to see in the spirit. I want to see. Teach me how to see. Then Gary Oates is another minister. I'm going to drop all these little names for you so that way you can go and hunt down their ministries or read their books if you want. You don't have to, but I'm just going to tell you, this is what I did because I, you know. And so I went and read Gary's book, and his book is Open My Eyes, Lord. That's what it's called. Open My Eyes, Lord. And he was on a trip with Randy Clark at Global Awakening, and I think it was in Brazil, and he had an encounter where when he was prayed over and imparted to, the Lord took him up in the spirit, and he saw all kinds of amazing things. You can read his book. But one of the things that it did is it opened up his eyes to see in the spirit more than he had ever seen before, in great detail. And so, I read some more. And then there was another guy, Jonathan Welton. His wife was on the Thailand trip with me, and so I got to learn about her husband's ministry, and he has a book called The School of the Seers, which teaches you how to actually ask for and practice the discerning of spirit's gifting, to be able to ask the Lord to see in the spirit. And so there's little techniques, little exercises and stuff. We won't go into all that, but my point is when he received it, he was imparted to also. And actually, it was in Brazil as well, I think. And so we all need to go to Brazil and get imparted to, right? But he was imparted to. But when his eyes opened, he saw, like, he had, like, electricity, sweat, that kind of manifestation when he was imparted to. Like, he was on the floor for a few hours, like. But when he got up, he was able to see, like, these giant, like, I don't know, 9, 10, 12 foot, these huge angels on either side of the worship. It was during worship, during one of the conferences there. And he saw all these angels in the room, but he saw these really giant ones that were giant flaming kind of angels or whatever. But then everywhere he went for like the next 3 weeks or something, he saw everything. Like he saw the demonic, he saw the angelic, he saw spirits and things hovering over buildings, he saw stuff on people, he could see when there's like, you know, stuff that would be sticking in you because you've, you know, been betrayed or something, and there'd be like a sword in your back with like their name on it or something, like literally that's what he would see in the spirit. Like he would see words floating. He could tell if you're a believer because he'd see light inside of you, but then everywhere around you was a dark cloud if there was depression or some other thing that was going on. He'd be able to see, I mean, just different things like that. And then the Lord shut it off one day. And he couldn't see anything. And so then he prayed and said, okay, God, what'd I do? Did I mess up? Like, what happened, right? And so basically the Lord told him, I gave this to you so that you could learn. Because he basically for those 3 weeks, he was so freaked out, he stayed inside. Because anytime he went out, like, he saw everything everywhere, right? So it was like full-blown mode. And so he was kind of having a mental moment, you know what I'm saying? And so, but then when it, because he thought he shut it down by hiding. And so when he prayed about it, he asked the Lord what happened. And the Lord said, I need to teach you how to turn the gift on and how to turn the gift off. Because you can't live with it 100%. You know, like you still got to be in the world too, right? But I need you to learn how to discern, how to move in this gift so that you can teach other people so that they can recognize that we live in a spiritual world. We live in a spirit realm, right? We are a spirit in a body, okay? And so he then slowly taught him, and that's what he does. He has exercises in this book on practicing kind of how to do that. And when we've talked about hearing the Lord and thinking of pictures, that's kind of what we're doing, is practicing seeing in the Spirit. So that's how I see. I see in the Spirit in my mind's eye. I have not seen like I'm watching a TV screen, like some people can see those kinds of things like that. I see it in my mind's eye. But I've prayed and I asked, and what it did is it made me hungry. It made me hungry because I'm like, wait, God, you're no respecter of persons, and that gift is kind of weird. But, and you almost want to be like, I want it, but I don't want it. You know, like, I want it, but I don't know that I want it. Because, I mean, how else are you going to, like, how do you handle that? Like, every other time that you see angels show up in Scripture, what do they have to say? Fear not. Right? Because the people are freaking out. And they either fall down on their face and they're bowing, and the angels have to say, no, don't worship me. You know, because it's just such an incredible encounter. Like, your brain goes, what? And you get freaked out because you obviously recognize, I should not really actually be seeing this. Do you know what I'm saying? That they freaked out every single time. And so they're like, fear not. So whether it was God coming as the angel of the Lord, if it was what we call pre-Jesus, you know, if it was a manifestation of the Lord as the angel of the Lord, or one of the many other messengers or helpers or warring angels or whatever, there's what we call angel sightings, okay? All through Scripture. And so why else would it be in Scripture if we're not supposed to know something about them? That's just the question I want to pose, okay? And so, again, I don't want to go too heavy into this, but here's the point I'm wanting to make. If we want to move in the kingdom, then we want to embrace everything that's in the kingdom and have greater revelation and understanding about it. So why in the world does God have angels, and why did he talk about them and use them so much? I mean, I think we kind of should ask that question, you know? So I'm not going to tell you that I have all the answers. I'm just telling you that it's something for us to ask the Lord about. And like in anything in the kingdom, we want to perceive and pursue the kingdom. Well, what does that look like? Well, we need to have some sense and awareness of the spiritual realm everywhere we go. Okay, so I want to encourage you to think about that. There's another guy and book I'll mention to you, and that's Blake Healy. I'll hope to bring him here sometime too, but he is a seer, and he was born a seer. So was Jamie Galloway, by the way. They were born seers. They didn't have an impartation. They were born with it and literally thought they were crazy. I know Jamie, when he shares his testimony, he talks about how, like, he had to have lots of therapy and went into a psych hospital and things like that and had meds and all kinds of things because they thought he was nuts, basically. Well, the same thing with Blake. Like, he didn't realize that nobody saw what he saw until he started going to school and realized nobody saw all the things that he saw. And so he would talk about how he would see angels and things, but he would see colors, and he would see like ribbons or light and things like that. And he'd see all kinds of things like that, but he just didn't know that everybody else didn't see that, right? So he just learned to eventually, luckily he was in a Spirit-filled church that kind of helped him a little bit in that. But what his experience was is that it was almost too much. Like, everybody kept going to him going like, ooh, so what's my angel doing? You know, we're like, oh, so what's going on right now? Like, what are you seeing? Like, because they wanted to understand the gift, but he was a kid, you know? And so as he grew up in it, he was like, okay, let's back away from it for a little bit. And I won't tell you his whole story, but the questions I asked him, because I'm gonna ask people questions, you know? So the questions I asked him was, okay, so help me understand kind of how you relate to it. And what I loved about some of his answers were, he always asked Holy Spirit or the Father when he did the talking. He never talked to the angels that he saw. That's a really big key, y'all, okay? Because it's not about the angels, per se, right? They're helpers. They're here all over this room right now. There's a really big one that stands in that corner over there. I'm just telling you, I know that it's there. I saw it the first Sunday I was here. It's back there, and every time we do worship, it's always back there. And there's a whole bunch of little ones that play over here, and they were here before the children ever came. First Sunday, right, Jay? First Sunday, I asked him. I'm just telling, pause, commercial break. I told him on the first Sunday when I walked in, first I said, man, we really need to have carpet in this place. And the second thing I said is, I said, so what would you do if I brought my scarves and started dancing in that corner over there? And he's like, and this was a couple years ago, right? So he's like, I don't know if we're ready for that yet. And I said, well, there's angels dancing in that corner over there. Like they're drawing me over. Okay, so I'm just telling you, I could feel them and I could see them in the spirit, not with my natural eye, but I could see them in the spirit over there in that little corner over there. That was my little dancing thing. And then there was one time where I wasn't in the praise team and I was standing in the back and I could feel the angel. Did I share this story with some of y'all before? I vaguely remember sharing this at some point, but there's an angel in the back and he was just doing this, like flapping his wings. But when he did, water would rush out and it would come and it would crash onto the stage and it would go right back. And then it became almost like, and I remember they were doing You Make Me Brave and Oceans, I think, because I thought it was really funny, those two songs together. And I remember Christy was leading, because I remember my arms, when I started dancing, I'd do this with my arms. And I kind of do like as if I had flags or ribbons or something in my fingers. And my arms were doing this, both like that. And then I got the picture of Mickey Mouse and Fantasia, you know, like psh, psh. And it was like I was orchestrating this splashing of this water. And I'm telling you, I experienced it. I don't know how else to explain that. It was not an emotional thing. It was a spiritual thing. And it was back there in the corner. And I could feel the angel behind me. And so, and that was like before I did hardly anything, really, you know, in the church. And so I'm just telling you, like, I saw all that stuff when we first got here. And so I know that there's stuff, there are angels that are at work all the time. And it's really interesting to begin to just ask the Lord, you know, what do you want us to know about that and why? Because I'll be driving down the road and I'll see this 18-wheeler go down the highway. And I had this vision, like in my mind's eye, there's two angels sitting on the top of the 18-wheeler and they're playing cards. And I laughed. And I was like, what? Where did that come from? I didn't make that up. I didn't think, let me think about angels and what they would be doing on the highway. Like it was just like I'm just driving along and I saw it and I'm like, what was that, God? And he said, there are always angels watching over everything. And someone prayed for that truck. And so they assigned angels to protect that truck. So what the Lord started doing was teaching me about how, you know, all those scriptures that talk about the angels are sent to be able to help us and to be able to, they're ministering spirits and those things. Like when you're aware of that, you talk to Holy Spirit, you talk to the Father, but we can pray and ask that the angelic be released to do da 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 da. Do you understand? And that's what this book does. That's what it kind of talks about. There's those 303 declarations in there because what it's saying is, check this out. First, sorry, I'm a little all over the place tonight. I'm getting really excited. So first, you have a personal angel who's assigned to you for your life. Now, I don't have full understanding of this, but a question that was proposed to Blake, and I loved his answer when he said, so what happens when, for example, someone dies? What happens to their angel or whatever? Well, he says, I don't know, but I remember ministering to a couple where I knew that they had lost a child and the child's angel was there with them. And there's something about some ministry that that angel that had been assigned to their child will do on the earth for the family during for a season. I don't know. I don't know what that's about. I don't know. Then they later go and get assigned somewhere else. I have no idea. But that's what he said he saw one time. But we all have personal angels that are assigned to us. And then there can be other angels that are assigned for whatever mission that you're on, whatever your commissioning is, whatever your call is or whatever. Okay. But I want you to get this. Here's where I'm going with this. When we pray, when we cleanse land, when we take authority, when we're in intercession, when we're in the courts of heaven, we talked about all the angels that are there with us too, you know, in the courts doing things. Well, what if you had a whole bunch of angels just lined up right here, twirling their thumbs, waiting for something to do? And they don't have anything to do because you didn't pray. Think about that for just a second. Like, I don't want any angels that might be in my area not have something to do. I don't want them to be bored. And I don't understand this, but Paul, like, writes in one of his letters, like, well, don't you know that we'll be judging angels one day in heaven? I'm like, what? How are we supposed to know that, Paul? That's not in any of your other letters that we have in the Bible. But he says that, like, to one of the churches, like, don't you know that we'll be judging angels? What? Where'd you get that one? I don't know. It's not anywhere else in here. I have no idea. But there's something about understanding how the Spirit and how the kingdom works. It's a question, right? So here's my point in this story. A, when you're hungry for the kingdom and to want to know things about the kingdom, you ask the king. Okay, we ask the Father, we ask the Holy Spirit, we look in the Word. I don't understand everything about angels. And so what have I done? I've gone and I've listened to people tell their stories. I've read the books and I've come back to Scripture, right? And I test it out. I look at it and go, okay, well, the Bible does talk about this. It doesn't fully explain like the whole judging angels thing. I don't understand that, right? I don't know. But I know that there are various degrees of angels. I know angels have different assignments, and I know that there's someone's assigned to us. I know that that they're there to minister, they're to help, they're to serve. I know that there are warring angels. I know that there was an angel that, you know, when Daniel prayed, right, that he had to release, he had to go and get help from Michael because he was fighting the Prince of Persia in that region. I don't understand that, right? But it happens and exists. But what did Daniel do? So we study the word and we go, okay, well, Daniel prayed and fasted and he contended for 21 days. And then the angel said, hey, listen, God was going to answer you the minute you started to pray, but war had to happen first, or whether it was the court or whatever, right? Whatever paradigm you see that in, had to take place. And it wasn't until 21 days before the answer could come, right? But he contended for it. But the angel's the one who gave the answer. It wasn't in prayer necessarily by Holy Spirit. So I don't have full understanding of that. But when I read the scripture and I start asking questions and going, okay, wait a second. This is in the kingdom. Like, angels are in the kingdom. They're in the kingdom. So, Lord, what do I need to know about that? Why do I need to know about that? How do they help? How do they minister? So when I pray, like this book talks about, when we talk about cleansing land, guess what? We're giving angels assignments. Now, do we go around like saying, okay, I'm bossing you around, angels? Like, no, because I don't boss around Holy Spirit neither. And I'm not going to boss around my friend, right? So in the same way, they're like our friends. What does the angel say, you know, to him when, I can't think of his name right now, you know, when the angel came and he fell down and he started to worship, who am I talking about? John? Is it John? In Revelation. Okay, yeah. So I was thinking of another prophet, but it probably happened more than once is what I'm thinking. That maybe I was thinking of Elijah or Elisha or somebody too. But my point is he fell down and he started to worship. He says, no, I'm like you and I'm a fellow servant like with you and your brothers, right? So he says, don't worship me, worship the Lord only. But he's a fellow servant. So they're like friends. They're a part of advancing the kingdom, and they help us to establish and to advance the kingdom. And so a lot of the times when I pray or when I begin worship, I invite the angels. Now, they may already be here, but just like I say, you're welcome, Holy Spirit, to come and have your way in this place. Well, he's already here. I don't have to ask him to come as if he ever went away, right? But what am I doing? I'm acknowledging, thanking, and inviting their presence because they do things to help advance the kingdom. So I want you to just have an understanding of that. And the reason why is because in that lesson, what I wanted to show you or give you a picture of what it looks like to grow in understanding the kingdom and then moving forward in whatever that thing is. So for example, when I start reading the scripture and I question, okay, so tell me about angels, Lord. Well, I go to the Lord and I go through his word and I go to the Lord and I go, okay, help me understand that. And what do I need to know? And I always come back and test it out in scripture. But what else did I learn in that? So I'm going to take that concept. I'm going to say, okay, so let's look at the role models in scripture. What did they do? You know, they didn't necessarily talk to the angels. The angels talked first and sent a message or did whatever or ministered. So we know about that, right? So in anything else in the kingdom, that's what we want to be able to do. So when we start cleansing land, when we take authority and when we pray, we can say, okay, Lord, if your angels do our bidding in the same way that Holy Spirit, like we have to be able to speak something and partner what God is saying. So when we want to advance the kingdom and we know that the angels help that, well, God, will you release your angels that heal? Will you release the angels that do your commissioning? Will you release the angels to come? Just having an awareness of that, right? To have an awareness of that aspect of the kingdom, I think is important. Because when we start to learn to really pray and exercise our authority, As we go and cleanse land and time, as we go and we operate in the courts of heaven, it's important for us to not just look at one or two aspects of that. It's important for us to have a questioning, an investigative mind, if you will. And the word that keeps coming to my mind is hunger. It's about hunger. Like, I started learning this stuff and going, whoa, wait a second. Okay, wait, there are people who see angels? What? And so I would start asking these people questions, or I would read their books, and it would stir up something in my spirit, and it would make me hungry. And then I'd go read more about it in the Word, and it would make me hungry. And then I started to say, well, God, you're not a respecter of persons, so if they have that gift, can I have that gift? Because you're no respecter of persons, and you said I can eagerly seek all the gifts. And what is that gift? It's discernment of spirits, right? To be able to discern the angelic or the demonic and the human spirit. To be able to see things in the spirit. Lord, if I would be able to be honored enough, if I would be safe enough, that I could be humble enough, that I could be chosen and offered that gift, Lord, what would it take in me to know how to operate in that gift in a holy way? Like I was telling you, like, I'd be afraid to have that gift on some level, right? To be honest. So, but yet I'm still hungry. So, God, if that's available, I want it. I want it. I want to be able to see. I want to be able to see what you're doing. I want to be able to see things. And, Lord, then as you show me those things, am I learning to steward them well? Help me to know, how do I steward that? How do I steward that gift? How do I steward that revelation? How do I steward that understanding of that, of what you've given me? Let's shift gears for a second. Finances. You know, who doesn't want more money? Nobody? Okay, Lord, what have you already given me? Everything he gives is a gift. Every dollar, every penny we have is from the Lord, right? It's not really ours. Okay, but he's given it to us. So, Lord, how do I steward this? What do you want me to know and understand about money? How does it work in the kingdom? You know how money works in the kingdom? You give it away. And the more you give away, the more you get. Because why? Because then he can trust you with it. Because you won't hoard it for yourself. So then he teaches you generosity. And so then you have plenty. And you always have abundance because money's not the thing that you cling to. You'll love one and hate the other, cling to one, despise the other, is what scripture says, God or money, right? So even with money, so okay, so how's that kingdom? How's money kingdom? How can money be kingdom? How can this advance the kingdom? How can our finances advance the kingdom? What are my belief sets about money? What do you say in your word about money? Let's look up every scripture there is that's got money or giving or tithes or offerings or whatever. Give me understanding, Lord. So see, in everything that we do, and we're looking at the king and the kingdom, is whatever that is. Like for me, I wanted to talk about angels because it was on my heart too, since we've done this whole operating the court stuff. But then the Lord said, Cindy, it's so much bigger than that. That's a great little teaching. Let's learn more about angels. That's good information. Okay, but what I've been asking for is I don't ever want to come up here on a Wednesday night and teach you guys good information. You know, I want it to be something that you can activate, that you can practice, that's going to grow you, that's going to produce good fruit in you. Why? Because it's spirit-led and it's spirit-imparted, and it's because I'm not a great speaker or teacher. Like, I'm not. But I'm just crazy enough to get up here and put a microphone in my mouth, you know, because I don't know it all. But I eagerly seek the kingdom, and I'm passionate about making sure, like, anything that I get to know, like, I want to share it. Like, that's just the first thing I want to do. I'm like, oh, you got to learn. Oh, you got to know this. It doesn't mean I know everything, but I want to be able to impart whatever it is that I do know, you know, because I want us all to grow in it. I want us all to grow in the kingdom. And the thing that really impressed upon me when Charles was here, and that one Friday night when he just waited on the Lord, like, he could have preached that sermon that he had, but the minute he felt the anointing wasn't on it or the Spirit wasn't on that teaching, he waited on the Holy Spirit. And learning how to discern in the kingdom, to know how to discern where the Spirit is leading, like I could have gone into the teaching that I wanted to, because we were going to do the declarations. Like, I was going to be like, all right, let's practice, let's activate the declarations. I mean, and then I thought, you know, yesterday, I don't really feel like that's really what the Lord wants us to do. Like, why angels? You know, I mean, I just thought that was kind of neat. The declare and decree a thing. That's the verse in Job. Declare and decree a thing and it will be established. That was going to be the verse message for tonight. So when you decree something, right, it will establish it. Why? Because the power of the tongue speaks life or death. He who speaks it will eat its fruit. And we want to go through when we go to the park and we declare things over our city and when we pray and when we, you know, did Love New Braunfels and we did that worship time and we opened up the doors and we went outside into the parking lot and we were worshiping and we were declaring over the city in the air. That was a spontaneous moment. That was spirit-led. It was not planned whatsoever. Certainly not by me. You know, I'm just telling you because I was up here singing for another hour or more, longer than I thought I was going to be. So I'm just telling you, like, I love that this house is a kingdom church because it's about the king and the kingdom. So tonight when I was asking the Lord, I'm like, well, what do you want me to share? And he's like, well, start with the angels thing because we need to have an understanding of every aspect of the kingdom and angels are a part of it. And no one ever talks about angels at church. Not really. You know, so I thought, why not talk about angels? Okay. Because I do want to be aware of that. If other people can see them, I want to know why. And I love that. Let me tell you this story. Because I learned so much in observing and hearing Blake Healy when he shared. He wrote the book, I'm sorry if I didn't mention it, Blake Healy, H-E-A-L-Y, wrote the book, The Veil. And like I said, he was born with a gift. And then he was at some kind of youth conference or something like that, and he saw Jesus appearing to people and ministering to people, and then they would go up to the front and asked to be saved and stuff. So it was just amazing. It's an amazing book to hear some of those stories. But what I loved about asking him questions in this time when he was doing ministry is he can see, but he never talks to the angels, like I said. He always talks to the Lord about it. And what he did is he basically was seeing in the spirit so that he could prophesy over somebody. It was all prophetic ministry, really. It was the seeing gift that operated. Why? Why was the gift there? Why see all that stuff? So that the Father could impart what he wants that person to know about who they really are or their gift or whatever it is that's available to them. So it all still came down to, even if I didn't see in the spirit that way ever, like what did it move toward? It moved toward talking more to the Lord, asking the Lord the questions, asking the Holy Spirit for that information, not the angel, right? And then to be able to edify, encourage, and advance prophetic ministry in that way, to be able to advance the kingdom in that way. And he even talked about one time where he saw, I'll never forget this story because he was in the pool with his little kids. And he said trying not to see in the spirit. Like, he described it this way. You know when you're driving in your car and you've got your windshield and then like a bug splats on the windshield or whatever, okay? But when you're driving, you're not looking at the bug splat. Like, you're looking through the stuff or the dirt or whatever to see the road, right? But if you wanted to, you could focus on the bug splat and then you're not looking at the road anymore, right? But you could see both at the same time. You follow what I'm saying? But there's a focus. He said that's what it's like. That's how you shift into the spirit and into the natural realm. And so he said he was intentionally just hanging out with his kids, and he saw this older woman, and he said, and she was older, and like 60s or 70s or something older, and she had a little shower cap on, and she had little noodles, you know, and like swim gear. And so she was kind of like hanging on, and so it was just curious to see her, you know, to see what she was doing. He's like, I don't know if she's doing like exercises or what she's going to do. So he just kind of watched her, and she kind of slowly went into kind of middle of the pool, and she had these little noodles, and she'd tuck them underneath her arms, and then she'd hold her breath, and then she'd put her face under. She wouldn't go all the way under. She'd put her face under for a couple seconds, and then she'd come up, and she'd shake her head, and she'd freak out, and she'd breathe, and she'd calm down again or whatever, and then after a few minutes, then she would do it again. And so then he intentionally flipped the switch and looked in the spirit, and he said, I saw her angel on one side, and I saw a demon on the other. And the angel was doing this. The angel was like going, you got it. Yes, you're doing so good. Keep it up. I mean, like cheering her on, right? Totally focused on her, not on anybody else. And this was interesting to me. The angel was not focused on the demon at all. The angel was doing its job, completely focused on its assignment to encourage this person, okay? What the demon was doing is every time she was brave enough to hold her face under, it freaked out, okay? Angel was cheering on, demon's freaking out. She gets up, she's scared, and then the demon is loving it because he's trying to stir fear. He's like, oh, you can't do it, da-da-da-da-da, just trying to, like, really be negative and, you know, and trying to scare her. I don't remember what all he said she was saying. But then the angel just kept on cheering. And so then she would be brave, and she'd tuck in those noodles, and she'd stick her face down under, and then she would do it again. Well, of course, he was curious, like, to what was going on. Notice he didn't talk to the angel. He didn't talk to the demon. He went up to the woman. He said, hey, so what you doing? You know, are you learning to swim? Or, because it was kind of obvious that she didn't know. He's like, yes, it's been on my bucket list, and I'm just determined to learn how to swim, and so I'm just practicing holding my breath, you know, kind of thing. He's like, okay. He didn't say a word about what he saw in the spirit. He didn't want to be weird, you know. But I share that story because for me, it helped me understand, oh, so that's why someone would see in the spirit, is to be able to recognize what's going on in the spiritual realm and to learn how the kingdom works. I would have thought these two would have been fighting each other, like sword fighting or whatever, you know, kind of a thing, like spiritual warfare. I always had that kind of picture, but that's not the picture he saw at all. So it gave me a different paradigm of, okay, so the angels are completely like not worried about the demon at all, totally doing their assignment, encouraging, right? While this demon over here was trying to scare her the whole time. Yet she was being so brave to keep moving forward. Now, can you imagine you in every situation that you're in? I was talking about the angel and devil on the shoulder, you know, and what they're saying. I always had that old cartoon and that visual picture, you know, and I'm like, dang, you saw that, like in the spirit, that's real, you know? And so why? So let me back up. So my point is when we grow in understanding in the kingdom, anytime, even if it's angels, to understand, like, why do we want to know that? Why do we want to see in the spirit? Why would I want to see that? You know, well, because it exists and it's in the kingdom. So why not? So help me understand, God, what do I need to know about it? Is it a primary thing in the kingdom? No, like I don't, that's not a primary thing. Like salvation and Jesus and Holy Spirit and those are primary, right? Like how we love others, how we're going to minister to others, how we advance the kingdom and salvation and move in that kind of a thing and advance the power and all that. So I'm just saying, when we want to grow in the kingdom, I want us to be able to move in this place of hunger, and that's really the word, if I can say, as bounced around as I have been tonight in this message, the whole point is, where the Lord has taken me recently is I want to hunger in such a way that it's all about him and his presence. It's about what he wants me to know. And so this is just an example of a subject, like I said, it could be money, it could be anything that we read about in scripture, but we want to enter into that place where you say, okay, first, God, I need to be in your presence, I need to know that I'm talking to you, right? I need to be a carrier of his presence everywhere I go. So he's with me everywhere. Yeah, the angels are around and stuff too, but he's with me everywhere I go. He's the one I'm going to be talking to everywhere I go. If I could picture Jesus sitting in my passenger seat of my car every time I'm driving or whatever, do you know what I'm saying? Like, do y'all do that? I don't know. I do that. I go grocery shopping. Jesus is walking with me. I just imagine that. I just like to do that. But when I have random pictures like angels playing cards on the top of an 18-wheeler, like, I'm like, okay, Jesus, what was that about? You know, like, why did he tell me that? Because for whatever reason, he wanted me to understand that actually happens. You know, I know a friend of mine, she actually was helping someone move out of their home, and she actually heard people talking, and she looked and she didn't see anybody there when she turned the corner, and there was nobody else in the house. Everybody else was still outside. But she later figured out what the conversation she heard was between two angels that were there. Because of the conversation they were having, I don't remember exactly what they all said, but she thought, that's kind of a weird conversation, and she peeked around the corner and there was nobody there. But she knows that she heard something as if people were standing right there, you know, kind of a thing. Just weird occurrences. I'm like, Jesus, I don't understand that. Why did she get to hear that? I don't know. Except that now I know that that happens. Like, angels have conversations about people when they're moving their house. Like, I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things. Is it a primary thing? No. But why do we get to do that? It's the same thing when we talk about healing, right? Why in the world did we have three people in one service have metal disappear from their bodies? That's just weird. I don't know. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, in the Love New Braunfels, if do y'all not know that, in Love New Braunfels, one of our services, we did a little healing thing. Jay showed a video of a healing in someone's body that Global Awakening had a video testimony. And we just went after it just because God's been doing it. Do you know what's really funny? I'll tell you this. We actually had prayed for a lady to have her pain that was in her back, and another person, I think it was an ankle or in their foot or whatever, and the metal completely disappeared. She was able to have x-rays, you know, where she was able to show that the metal in her body completely disappeared. And this is before we ever learned that it was even happening anywhere. So we didn't even have a grid for what to do with this in our little, you know, Methodist church and whatever in Abilene. And so we're like, this is weird. And the lady that came came from the Catholic church or whatever. So she wasn't even like a member of our church. So we're like, we don't even know what to do with this. You know, we just were praying. We had a healing night. She came, she could touch her toes, and then got the x-rays later to show us. And we didn't have a grid for that. But then we started hearing that it was happening at Bethel. And I didn't even know what was happening at Bethel until I heard it from Randy Clark in Global Awakening, because he started just going after it every time he had a conference. He just said, anybody that's got metal in your body, go ahead and stand up. We're just going to pray for it because we know God's doing it and he's not a respecter of persons, so we're just going to go after it. So tons of people are getting healed from metal in their bodies just because he, like, you're not, I heard you did it over there, so we're just going to go for it. It wasn't even a word of knowledge. He'd start going for it. So when I see it happen, and I'm thinking, okay, Jesus, as far as I know, that's our first creative miracle of metal disappearing, and we had three in one service. What's that about? And why the number three? You know, because me and numbers. So what I'm saying is this is how you stir up hunger, is you ask questions, and you press in for more, and you go, okay, I know that that was God. First of all, test it out, make sure it's God. So if I know that that was God, like, Lord, I don't want to just dismiss that. I want to understand it. Show me in your word what that's about. Stir hunger in me to understand this. This isn't just random information. There's something about hunger that he's wanting us to understand in any topic. So whether it's going to be about angels, whether it's going to be about money, whether it's going to be about anything that the Lord has you stirred up about, like, God, what are you saying? Like, a lot of times in the prophetic, I will hear things in my spirit that the Lord is teaching me and telling me, and then someone else will talk about it, and it'll be like, oh my gosh, that's confirmation. I was just talking about that. Or it'll be the same verse, the same scripture, right? Who's following me, right? Anybody ever that happened to you? Okay, God's saying something, especially if it shows up several times. So what does it do? It draws you in more and going, okay, oh, let me lean in and listen. God, what are you saying about that? Like, that was kind of awesome. You know, like, I'm like, okay, God, creative miracles took place, as far as I know, for the first time, and they had three of them, and it was metal instead of other stuff, and it could have been anything else, right? Like, I mean, I know people have gotten gold teeth, and they've had their hair, you know, color come back, and it's not gray anymore. I mean, weird things. You know, I know a drug addict girl that was in a conference, and her teeth started to grow back. Like, she could feel it growing in her mouth. She screamed, actually, and interrupted Bill Johnson while he was talking because the teeth were growing in her mouth. I was in the room when it was happening, and she testified to it. And we hadn't even prayed or done anything. He was just sharing testimonies, and it happened. Weird stuff, okay? But I'm like going, okay, God, what's that about? Creative miracles, right? Like, just because God told Jay to show a video, just to go for it. And then it happened. And to have the salvations that we had when we did, you know, the outreach. And to have just whatever it is that God introduces to you when he affirms it in your spirit, when he shows you, you know, your homeless guy who's, you know, getting free and he's coming into surrender, that's breakthrough. Like, yay, God, let's have victory about that. But then, oh, that makes me hungry. Like, I don't ever want to get to the point in my Christian life that I ever become lukewarm. The Lord himself said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, else I spit you out of your mouth. Spit you out of my mouth. I don't ever want to be cold either, but I don't want to be lukewarm. And I think sometimes, even in the kingdom, we can be like, oh, yeah, we know God heals. Oh, yeah, we've seen testimonies of metal. But, like, I still want to be freaked out. Like, I don't want to be like, well, sure, he healed you, you know? No, like, I was tripping, you know? And it was even funnier because of the guy that he, like, just because I knew, like, for years, this guy's had this thing, you know? Like, I'm like, his nickname was Bones, for goodness sake, because of all the bones he had shattered. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what was so fun, is just the shock on his face. And, like, God just showed up, and we have no idea what he did with the metal in my leg. And he couldn't feel it. It's crazy good. And it was just, I mean, it was just crazy, right? So I just want you guys to know, if you get anything, what I want you to hear is there's so much in the kingdom for us to know, and we have to be hungry. And guess what? The Father loves to feed the hungry. So how are you hungry? Because I'm satisfied in the Lord because he's all good, but yet I'm really not satisfied either, like because I know that there's more. And so I want to hunger for the things of the Lord. I want to hunger for what revelation is he teaching? Like when I first got the whim of the courts of the heaven, I'm like, okay, let's go deeper in that. What are you saying about that? And then he lines up all this other stuff. And I told you, you know, then Jack prays over us and he mentions the court of heaven. I'm like, really, Jesus? Like, that's cool timing. You know what I mean? And then the whole angel thing, and to know, you know, Lannerbrun's the one who started it, and she got the whole, she was doing the declarations. I mean, she and Jay sat over by Founders Tree at Landa for like an hour declaring every single one of these declarations, you know, that angels are carrying and assisting the king's anointing, and we loose them. God's activity and the only, that only God's ability can create would be loosed among us. That the kingdom of God is now being extended locally, regionally, and throughout the earth. I mean, they're just declaring all these things and just awakening the angelic into assignment and giving them something to do. You know, because why? Because when we pray, that's what we're doing. We're activating them and getting them to do whatever their job is supposed to be to do. But they're waiting on us to pray and decree and declare it, right? Does that make sense? Good. Did you have something you wanted to share?
Something small, because you said, do y'all ever get that confirmation, like somebody else comes and confirms to you?
Yeah.
And so I just have to say this, because today, like an hour ago, I was homeschooling with Daniel, and we were learning about presidents, you know, and, you know, mentioned Nixon and da-da-da-da, you know, bad presidents, not necessarily, you know. And I said, well, son, you know, you don't know the level, you know, it's really easy to judge a president and say he did this or he did that, but you don't know the level of spiritual oppression that is on him. And he goes, what do you mean? And so I mentioned the Daniel passage, and he says, why would a prince, you know, get involved in spiritual warfare? So I went back to Ephesians, we don't war against flesh and blood. And we had this hour-long conversation, and I talked about the hierarchy, and I mean, so much of what you said. And I've not had this conversation, you know, this lesson that was supposed to be about presidents and the, you know, Kennedy era and civil rights, and instead we spent an hour on the angelic. So when you said, hey, do y'all ever get that? I just wanted to say, yes, there's confirmation, because it was really cool. So I just, yeah, wanted to.
Yeah, no, so that's just another confirmation. And I have another one waving their hand going, yes, me too. So whatever that's about, Jesus, we'll pray about that in just a minute about the angels, because I do think that there's something on the angelic that he wants us to understand. I don't have the teaching for you on that. I could have. Okay. I love that you're obedient. No, good. It's good. Sure.
So I've been trying to do the Daniel diet. Well, I said I was going to do it, and I keep having these slips. And I told my son today, well, it's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get up. And God sees you as a little child. He doesn't say, oh, you should just stop giving up. Because Daniel was like, maybe a 30-day diet wasn't for you. And when I was worshiping, you know, the deeper still, it's like, oh, you know, why can't I, you know, I keep my hunger alive? I want to go deeper. It's that hunger you're talking about. And I felt God telling me, every time you get those temptations, those aren't a bad thing. Those are the dogs, you know, I've heard the hounds of hell or whatever, or heaven, the hounds, anyway, whatever. Those are constant reminders that you need to hunger for me, that you need to transfer. You know, so I don't know if that was just a word for me, but you were mentioning the hunger, and I got that, and so I just wanted to share that too in case, because I thought about it here, and I thought, okay, I want to be obedient.
Okay, no, it's good. It's good for you to be obedient. We want you to be obedient to the Lord, because sometimes it's that very thing that you didn't share is what somebody needs to hear. Do you know what I mean? And we're in a house where we're just going to go there, so I'm good with it. It doesn't bother me at all. I think that's really good, because here's part of the word. I'm not going to read all of it. If you guys want me to send this to you, I will. I put it on my Facebook page, that I don't even know who this minister is, but somebody else had posted it for me, and so then I read it. It's the one that Eric was talking about. I'm not going to read all of it, but she basically was talking about how she felt like there was just a wave, a move of God that's coming, like the spirit of Elijah, like she was saying, and it's specifically marrying the prophet and the evangelist anointing. And so for me, I always pair those words together, prophetic evangelism. And that's a lot of what we do when we're teaching in here on how to hear the Lord and then prophesying to people. Well, when you take that to the streets or to like Love New Braunfels or anytime we do ministry out there, then what you're doing is you're introducing them to the Lord, and all of the gifts should lead them into a deeper relationship with the Lord, or again, that hunger to know more about him, right? Well, this is the part I wanted to be able to read to you. And first she starts with Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, and this is the Amplified Version. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest." When we take a look at this scripture more closely, we see here that the Lord is not just asking us to pray that he sends forth laborers into the harvest field, but to pray that he forces and thrusts them out into his harvest field. Another explanation of that root meaning to sending forth, according to Strong's Concordance, is to thrust out by violent force or to lead someone forth with a force which he cannot resist. Have you ever thought of that when praying for laborers in the harvest field? Have you ever thought to pray that the Lord would thrust them forth with a violent force of which it's hard to resist? That to me shows the level of intention and power of which the laborers are to operate in the harvest field. Harvesting in the kingdom is not a tiptoe through the tulip type ministry. It is one that is sent and thrust forth by the violent action of heaven. The heavens suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. This violent action of heaven that places these laborers in the harvest field also acts as a fuel and power source which flows through them as they harvest. Many of you are those laborers that the Lord is about to violently thrust forth into your position in the harvest field. When you're sent into the harvest field, you know that you're sent with the violent backing of heaven. There's an intentional empowering and grace to be able to do those things. So she talks about the harvesters being a new breed, that there's a particular grace that she feels like is being released, like I said, with the gifts of the prophetic and evangelism, and that we're in that season where we need to pray for the harvesters, especially into all seven mountains. But here's another piece that I think is something the Lord's been telling me. There's a harvest that's ripe not only in the world, but also in the church. I've seen for many years that there'll be a move like that of John the Baptist, where there will be a multitude being baptized in the river of repentance. There's that word again. Let's remember that the move of God that was upon John the Baptist was a move in the house of Israel. It was a move for the church, so to speak. It wasn't focused on the Gentile or the lost. So it's a move of repentance and returning to their first love. Revelation 2:4 says, "But I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left or abandoned your first love." And she says, "When I began to see the wave and the move of God that is building and about to release the prophetic evangelists in this hour and violently thrust them into the harvest field, I knew that part of this encapsulated a move of repentance that would flood the people of God like a tsunami, drawing them back to their first love. The river of repentance is flowing through the nations of the earth, and it will also come out of the mouth of babes." And there's this whole thing about at their children's church, they had the kids doing an art project and talking about the truth of baptism. So they had like a symbol of a dove. And she actually has them posted on her website. I was going to show that to you, Erica. But all the kids, without being told what to do, all started to color their doves with particular colors and symbols. And so they were to decorate or color it however they wanted. And normally they just color and just do whatever. But on this occasion, it was like the Spirit of the Lord came upon each child and they began to prophetically color different patterns. All the children did this right down to the youngest, who's 3 years old, and the children were not copying each other, but as I went around the class, they looked like every pattern represented a country. Patterns that looked like it would be from Australian indigenous art looked like it was from New Zealand, South Africa, Asia, Korea, South America, India. The notable thing on each of their doves was that every single one of them had a river running through each one. And whether they meant to or not, it appeared. And the Lord showed me that they were prophesying. Because we were doing baptism, the children were decreeing through their colored pattern doves that there will be a move of the Holy Spirit of repentance upon the nations of the earth, and that the spirit of Elijah that was upon John the Baptist will draw the nations back to the heart, will draw the nation's heart back to God. So the prayer focused was Matthew 9:38, pray for the laborers. And she said, for the Lord says to pray for the laborers, pray for the vessels that he is sending into the fields in the hour. Pray for them to be protected and a way for them to be made. Pray for those who are called to be harvesters, who aren't yet positioned to be aligned and to hear the call of the mighty captain of hosts. I once heard a preacher say, the Lord never said to pray for the harvest, but to pray for the laborers. The harvest is ripe, but it's the laborers who are few. So lift up your voice for the laborers and partner with heaven's agenda so that we can stand on the mighty breakthrough of harvest this generation has yet to experience. Pray that the Lord would thrust forth and position the laborers into his field as the harvest is white for reaping. Now I read that, and I'll tell you the minister's name. I think it's out of Australia, Anita Alexander. She's out of Australia. But anyway, I kept getting confirmations as I read that, like my spirit kept swimming, that I sent it out to our leadership team to begin to pray and see. And we had a couple of hits. We're like, yes, that feels like confirmation. That feels like confirmation. And again, what does it do? We know in part and we prophesy in part, right? So all I know is it stirred me. And there are certain words that jumped out at me that the Lord highlighted, is the word I like to use. He highlighted certain words or certain themes that he'd been telling me about that were confirmation of my spirit. So I'm not going to just leave that alone. Not only did I send it out to a few people, but I immediately went into prayer and was like, okay, God, what are you saying? Like, what is this time about? And what is supposed to be my role in this? How do I pray? How do I partner with you in that? Lord, would you stir up a hunger and an understanding of what you're saying? Pray for the harvest, but he actually says, pray for the laborers, because the harvest is ripe, but it's the laborers who are few. So one of the things that we've been praying for is that every person in this church would be activated in their gift, not only that they would just serve on Sunday morning or any ministry that's here, but really understanding what is their kingdom calling so that we can send you outside of these walls and wherever it is that you are in your highways and byway, advancing the kingdom of God however you're to do that. But yet, just like she said, I keep feeling this too, but the harvest is ripe in the church. And that was validated by Jack and Charles talking about, you know, it's always supposed to be about the kingdom. It wasn't supposed to be about churchianity. It was supposed to be about the gospel. Not the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom, right? So when you talk about meeting somebody and your spirit goes, yay, don't even know you, but you love God and my spirit just connected with your spirit. And so I know we're family. Like, you know, like that in and of itself, it should be something that we just get really excited about and going, oh, Lord, tell me more about that. Tell me more about how we're all in your family. Tell me about how I'm supposed to be able to love everybody in your family. Tell me about my brothers and sisters who I need to be able to love and minister to and forgive and partner with. Does that make sense? So I really felt like, anyway, I apologize. I know this isn't one of those 3.5 sermons, teachings or whatever, but I felt like what the Lord was saying is, we are in a season and a time where the Lord wants us hungry, and he wants us to get out of any place of complacency, and he wants us to understand that there is active things happening in the spirit. I'm going to share with you this last thing, and then I'll pray. I only know of a couple of times that I know, other than those pictures and the stories that I've shared with you already, I only know a couple of times where I feel like I've had angelic encounters. I've had it prophesied over me. And I've had to ask the Lord, like, I don't even know what that means or what that's about. But I'm going to share with you this one vision because I feel like it's pertinent to what I feel like is in this season. And I'll never forget the day because it was December 26th. It was the day after Christmas, and it was in 2006. It was before 777. It was before the call in Nashville. So it was 2006. And we were actually staying at my sister's house, and so in her guest room is upstairs. And so I had a dream. And in the dream, I won't tell you the whole dream, but in the dream, I looked out the window and it was dark outside and I saw what looked like glow sticks floating. It's just weird, I know. But there were like thousands and thousands of glow sticks floating outside. At first you thought they would be stars, right? But then I looked and they were like sticks. You know, so they were long. They weren't like dots or whatever, right? So I'm like looking, and in my dream, it's like I had just woken up, and so I rubbed my eyes, and I'm like trying to look again, and then these sticks immediately become angels, and so I see them as long bodies like this, and then all of a sudden their wings did this, and they're like floating in the sky, but there's like a legion of them, like tons of them all over the night sky, and they're doing this, flapping. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And they're just flapping, but they're not moving. They're just standing still, like they're just ready, like something's about to happen, right? And so in my dream, I'm freaking out. I immediately go into worship. I'm like, oh my God, Jesus, thank you so much. I'm seeing all these angels. What am I supposed to, like, I'm tripping that I'm seeing the angels, number one, right? Like, I'm just, I don't know. But anyway, I'm like, and then what are they doing? Why are they doing this? Like, what are they doing, right? And I woke up. And then I shake Chris, and I'm like, Chris, I just had this crazy dream about these angels outside, and they were floating, and the Lord showed me all these angels, and it was crazy, you know. And then he kind of rolls over, and he goes, okay, well, you probably need to write that one down, because I write down my dreams and stuff, right? So he turns to me and says, you better write that down. And then I really woke up. So I dreamed that I dreamed, right? It was like a dream within a dream. It was really weird. So it was the Lord saying, write it down, number one. You need to write this one down, okay? Well, that was in December of 06. And come 777 was when the Nashville and the Call did that first, in Nashville, they took a whole stadium and they did a solemn assembly. They went after praying for life or whatever. Well, I feel like we're in a similar season. And I watched recently, and I shared this with a few people too. If y'all want this, I'll send it to you as well. But there's a video of Lou Engle in this season, you know, when he did this most recent Esther fast call. And he's talking about the Esthers and the Deborahs arising, and specifically you women. So I'm not trying to leave out you guys, but he's talking specifically to the women that there's a season right now that he really feels like the Lord is calling the women to arise. And I think it was really pertinent that Jay, on Mother's Day, didn't preach necessarily about mothers, but he talked about the validation of women in ministry and the women to be able to rise in their kingdom destiny, you know, and to not feel like you're second class or second than or less than or whatever, right? And so that kind of was another affirmation or confirmation of this. But that whole thing about being able to see the angels and me freaking out about it and having a vision of it, I don't know what that meant. It didn't make any sense to me, but I was told by my husband in my dream to write it down. And so I wrote it down, so I knew the Lord wanted me to write it down. I don't know why. I still to this day don't know why. All I know is what it told me when I prayed about it was the angels were waiting for such a time to when God said go. Or when we partnered with heaven to say go, and then the angels are going. But they were waiting for an assignment. They were waiting, and they were anxious. They were like, come on, like, you just say go, and we're going to go, right? Like, so I didn't know. I had to pray. I'm like, God, are they asking, waiting for you to say go? Like, when are you going to say go? Or now I have an understanding of they're waiting for us to say go. They're waiting for us to partner with the Lord, right? Because we want to say what he's saying. And so then all of heaven will violently thrust forth whatever it is shifting in the atmosphere right now. And we know that we are in the early stages of the third awakening, this revival that is moving around the world. If you don't know some of those stories, we just had 3 people healed of metal in their bodies just a couple months ago. I'm just telling you, that should freak you out. I don't know about you, but we should not be complacent about healing. We should not be complacent about creative miracles. Like, I don't ever want to get comfortable with that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to repeat that to myself over and over and over again because I saw it with my own eyes and I know the people who got healed. So they're not lying. You know, like, you can't, that wasn't made up. Do you know what I'm saying? But do I have a grid for it? No, other than God showed up. And so these are the things that you can feed your spirit that stirs you up, that stirs up that hunger, that makes you want to read your Bible more and longer, that makes you want to be more disciplined as a disciple, that makes you hunger in knowing, okay, what do you want me to do today? How am I supposed to partner with you in prayer? Who do I need to encourage today? What are you saying? So I don't let the world get me down. I ain't got time for that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're doing kingdom stuff, you don't have time to be like messing with whoever's got a problem. You know? Like, you don't. I'm not going to get upset about little things that are really little things, because they don't matter as much as what this does to me. Because I'm going to stir up my hunger for the things of the kingdom. And that's what matters most. And I'm not going to let anything else get in the way. Does that make sense? So that's what I feel like is on the Lord right now, on this word, is what the Lord is saying is I want you to come closer. Every song he chose for worship today, that we would move in a little closer, that God, I look to you. Like, all of those songs were chosen intentionally because they were the things that I feel in the spirit that are on the Lord's heart. He's a hope's anthem. He's awakening my destiny. He's calling forth my identity. These are the things he's stirring up inside. Draw me closer, God. God, I look to you. Those are the songs, you know? Like, that's what he's doing. He's wanting us to hunger for more, to draw in deeper and closer, and we have to have that kind of focus. We have to be able to ask him those questions. He says, come to me, search, he says, ask me, and search for, what is that scripture? Jeremiah 33:3. Search me and I will answer you and tell you great and searchable things you do not know. Call to me and I will answer you. That's what it is. Call to me. Call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you cannot know. Unsearchable. Like, they're not even searchable. So it's like, well, help me understand that, Jesus. How am I supposed to know it then? I search you, right? And I go after that and I hunger for that. So let me pray, because I really feel like the Lord wants to release something. So Father, I have no idea what I'm teaching tonight. I just know, God, that you want us to have an understanding about the kingdom and how the kingdom works. You want us to be inquisitive of the mysteries of the kingdom. You want us to understand the different facets, or to seek it out. You want us to have understanding of these amazing angelic creatures that are here in this room with us right now, Lord. The ones that have been really serious and the ones that have been laughing and dancing. Like, they all have different assignments, and I love it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, would you give us, I'm just asking right now, God, would you give us eyes to see in the Spirit? Lord, would you remove whatever scales are on our eyes, whatever that veil is? Lord, would you help us to understand and to discern and to see what you're doing? Lord, that when we read prophetic words, or when we read an article, or when we read in your word, when we're reading books, God, as we're talking and sharing stories with people, that when you, Holy Spirit, highlight something and jump something out, Lord, that we would taste and see, that we would chew on it, that we would hunger for it, that we would ask for more, that we would pay attention, Lord, that we would even notice you. Or would you quicken our spirits to recognize you, Holy Spirit, that we would want to gather those pieces and to keep asking and to keep digging and to keep wondering what you're saying, Lord, that we would hunger for you, that we would hunger for your presence, that we would be carriers of your presence, God, that that's our heart's desire. Lord, it's not just about information, but it's the revelation that brings transformation. It's the encounter with you and your truth and your word. But God, you are doing a new thing, and we don't have the understanding for it, Lord. We have a taste, we have a sense, but Lord, I thank you for the confirmations that you give to let us know we're on the right track. Thank you, Father, that you want us to search your word. You want us to be people of your word. You want us to be people who are led by your Spirit and can discern the Spirit when you say go right or left, or when you're telling us, no, you really oughtn't do that, or no, that doesn't feel right, or you really should check your spirit about that. Lord, that we would hear you and we would recognize that it's you, and that we would pause and ask you questions. That we would stay in this place of relationship with you and let you guide us and teach us. So Father, I ask right now that you release that discernment of spirits gifting, let you release a greater measure of that right now in the room. And to all those listening, Lord, just release right now. Just open our eyes to see in the Spirit, Lord, as you will. Give us understanding, Lord, of knowing what to do with that in any and all of the gifts. How do we partner with you, Holy Spirit, in relationship with you to advance the kingdom? Lord, would you stir up hunger in our hearts? Don't let us be complacent, God. Don't let us get lukewarm. Don't let us get comfortable. Shake it up, Lord. Shake us up. Wake us up, God. Light a fire in us, Lord. Like a fire in our bones, God. Lord, if there's any way to love you more, I want to love you more. I want a hunger for you. Lord, would you release a hunger for you, a hunger for your word that does nothing satisfies like sitting and just worshiping you and being in your presence, that nothing else satisfies but tasting and seeing and chewing your word and gaining revelation of a verse that we'd seen 1,000 times but never saw it that way. I love when you do that, Holy Spirit. Would you increase that right now? Increase our hunger. Lord, would you increase our ability to focus? Would you help us to remove the distractions in our life? To reprioritize what needs to be priority. To let things go that need to be let go of. To pick up those things that we need to pick up and move forward in. Guide us, lead us, and direct us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the fresh wind and the fresh wave of things that you're doing right now. I bless you, God. I thank you. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.